Praise be to God.
Amen.
Who is this young guy standing up on stage? Well, you won't find many young guys, you know, up here. Well, back in India, it's mostly the you know, men are more mature, you call, or the old ones you call, you know, who occupy the stage times. And as Brother Dave mentioned, you know, the young and the old ones, I don't differentiate. You know, we don't differentiate it in the church. You know, like, you can be old age-wise, but you can be young spiritually. You know, I have found a lot of people who may be in their 80s, but they are so young spiritually. And looking at that, their energy, I feel so ashamed. I, being so young, I'm so old spiritually. So I'm glad that I find a lot of you people, you may have gray hairs, but you are all young. And so this chapel is so young, let me tell it to you. So for those people who are silent, who are quiet, thinking that they know all, just be reminded, you're young, you may be young in age, but you might be old spiritually. So try to be young spiritually. Well, Philippians chapter 4, there's a verse that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm here not to speak about myself. Well, it's so boring if I speak about myself. Well, I myself sleep while sleeping while talking about myself. Well, I'm here to speak about Christ, who strengthened me and who strengthened me to be here. Well, I never thought I would be in the United States, such a beautiful country, because of the people, because of the culture. Well, I had a chance to meet a lot of people, missionaries, who came to India to work among the people, the locals there, and who are from the United States, leaving all the luxury they had here. Such a privilege to have to meet people who think to save the people who are lost. Well, I am so young. Now, what shall I share? I just completed maybe 28 years. Well, that's not my age of my life on this earth. What can I share with you? Well, the Bible tells us that you should not look at a person's age. And that is what Apostle Paul tells us, encourages young believers. In First Thessalonians chapter 4 verses 12, it reads like this. In First Timothy chapter 4 verses 12, it reads like this: Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, and spirit, in faith, in purity. And that is what I have this morning. I have to give it to the young ones out here who think that they are excluded, you know, because they're young, or, you know, who feel that they can't, they can't do much for the Lord because of their age. No, you can do more than what you think for the Lord. It's just a matter of your availability and a matter of your desire or your inclination or your love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I would like to read a few words from a song that really inspired me to be the person I am. It still inspires me and gives me a motive to live in this wretched world. And whenever I deal with people, it gives me a perspective of how I should deal with them. And the song goes like this. Many of you may have heard it. I would rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I would rather be his than riches untold. I would rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I would rather be led by his nail-pierced hands than to be a king of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread sway. I would rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I would rather have Jesus than men's applause. I would rather be faithful to his dear cause. I would rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I would rather be true to his holy name. He's fairer than the lilies of rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out the comb. He's all my hungering spirit needs. I would rather have Jesus and let him lead. This is the song that still inspires me to this day. And I really wish if I could sing the way the person who composed or wrote this song. It's such a beautiful song. Let us all turn to Mark chapter 8, verses 34 to 38. Mark chapter 8, verses 34 to 38. I would like to relate the verses that's written here to my life. And Mark chapter 8, verses 34 to 38 goes like this. When he had called the people to himself with his disciples, also he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses it for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for a soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. Dear brothers and sisters, the Lord has called us to carry our cross, and that is what we have to do. The day we accepted the Lord as our personal Savior, the day we became his disciple, yes, we were freed from our sins. Oh, praise God, I'm no more a sinner. But that is the day you began to carry the cross. Now, what is this cross? Well, you can think about the sickness. You can think about your sickness. That is your cross. You can think about troubles in the family, the quarrels, that's your cross. You can think about your studies, that may be your cross. You can think about the sin, or you can think about the perishing people in front of you. That can be your cross. And what are we to do as believers? We have to take up the cross. And does it say just to take up the cross? No, and to deny yourself. One of the biggest challenges that I faced was to deny myself. Who am I? Well, we are born. When we are born, you know, our parents try to train ourselves, try to put into us a lot of good things. You know, just try to be nice when you go out there in the world, you know, so that people may, you know, see and will recognize you. Or our education system is such that, you know, they are taught us to be the best, the sharpest, the tallest, and, you know, to be the best. And at the end of the day, the education system, you know, makes you feel that, oh, yeah, I am the best. Who are you? I know. I know I'm the best. Well, but the Bible tells you to deny yourself. And only then can you follow and to take up your cross and to follow me. Well, I was born in a Christian family. How blessed I am to be born in a Christian family. And many of you children, or it can be parents, you would consider yourself blessed to be born in a Christian family. You know, there are a lot of benefits that come with it. First is, yes, you will know the Lord Jesus Christ at a very young age. You will know, there's a God. His name is Jesus Christ. Well, good. You're good to know. You know, you go to the Sunday school, meet a lot of friends there. They become your lifetime friends, and you know, you find a lot of good things or benefits when you are in the Sunday school. And so, I was born to my parents. My father's name was Thomas, and my mother's name is Mary. And well, that's not the story. Just by coming into this world through Christian parents doesn't makes you a child of God? No. Well, I came to recognize this, and I accepted the Lord in 2004 when I was in a teens camp. One of the preachers, he preached the gospel in a way that really pricked me, and I was young, and I recognized myself as a sinner. And that day, I gave myself for the Lord. It wasn't easy after that. I was young, you know, entering teens, I was a teen by then. It comes with a lot of, you know how these teens are. So, so I had to go through that age, you know, that rebellion, the urge to disobey, the urge to live out your passion in this world, the urge to go out and, go your way. Well, I had those passions too. Well, teens, they're all the same, so I had to, it doesn't matter where you are in this world. So I had that same urge, and I went my way. I went out of the house. I decided to go out away to a different country to study. So I was in a country called United Arab Emirates, which is in the Middle East. My parents, they are working there, and so I decided to go from there to India, so that I will explore this world as teens. You know, the freedom that comes with it. Ooh, that's wonderful. So, but let me tell you, dear brothers and sisters, that decision was one of the best decisions that I ever took. Not because I had the freedom to do a lot of things that I wanted, but because I found God when I was alone. So 8 years of my life in India, that's a result. So you are seeing me is because of that. 8 years of my life in India. I was alone. I was living with my grandfather, who was an evangelist. He was a missionary. So he was a missionary. He used to do his work in southern part of India. So I was mentored by him. I had my spiritual guru, or you can say, for my spiritual needs, I used to look up to him. Well, things were so nice because I had my grandfather. If there's any issues that I face, I could turn up to him. Then one day, the Lord called him. That was the day that I broke down. That was in 2012. Because that's the time I realized that your time on this earth, it's limited. Today you're 28. Who knows that you will cross 29? Nobody knows. Today you might be a 50, or tomorrow you might be 80-year-old. Nobody knows, you know, your age or whether you're going to cross the next year. And so it was so hard, or I took it so hard on myself. I just found this life to be meaningless, you know. When you have someone to mentor, or when you have a spiritual person who can direct you, who can say what is wrong, what is good, who can share good thoughts with you, well, if you lose the light that is in front of you, well, you don't know where to go. I was in that situation. Until somehow, somewhere, I came across this book lying on the ground. The book is by William MacDonald, Think of Your Future. It was lying on the ground. Can you imagine? Nobody gifted it to me. So for all the young ones here, I would recommend this book. Please go home. It just costs like $3. It's a $3 book, but it has thousands or millions worth of wisdom in it. It will remind you what you are worth in this world, what your education counts for, or what your work counts for, or what are the responsibilities that you have in this world. Well, our parents can be with us maybe, you know, till 20, then we go away to different state for work. But dear brothers and sisters, we are often so busy with our lives that we forget to think why we are on this earth. So we will only realize the worth of a life when we are in our 80s. So that's what I feel. And so read this book. It's Think of Your Future by William MacDonald. And that made me realize that this life is not to be lost. I have to utilize it. And that's when I found the true meaning of life. It is to live for the Lord. And the words that we read, it says that if you lose your life for my sake and the gospel's sake, you will find it. I wanted to live, I still want to live in this world many years. So what's the best way I can do that? Is to live for others. When I say live for others, is live to show Christ to others. So, to live in a way that you show, reflect Christ in others. You will find the meaning of life, or you will find your life, or the meaning of life. And that is what I understood when I read this book. And then I decided to go back to join my parents who were in the Middle East. And I had a wonderful time there with my parents. I was involved in the children's ministry. Children, they're messy. They're nice beings, but they're messy, you know. That's what I thought. But let me tell you the truth. If you want to change a nation, if you want to change a country, if you want to change your community, you begin with the small beings. You begin with your children. So I found a burden to reach out to the children, and I trained myself. I was trained by the CEF, or the Child Evangelism Fellowship. They had these training courses, how to teach a saved child and how to teach an unsaved child, through a lot of lessons and Bible lessons. And it was a blessed time. And we used to have like 200, 300 children coming from different parts of the Middle East to for the camp. And they used to be distributed in groups, and we used to share them the gospel. And for those who are saved, we used to share them how to continue in their faith. It's very difficult with these young children, you know, who are exposed to a lot of things in their education that will really question their faith. So it's really tough to tell them that that's not what is worth in their education system. It can help you in this world, but it will never help you on the other shore. And that I stayed there for 4 years, and then I met a beautiful person who is my life partner. Well, she came into my life when I was in the Middle East, and you know, it was nice and all things fairy tale until we got married. So it was a wonderful story. Like, I wish if I was a director, I could make it into a movie. But that movie had a tragic ending, because we got married, she came to the States, and I'm left there. So, man, like 2 years, wow, separated. Like, it's tough when you're young, and when you're a heart full of love, and you don't get to time to spend with your wife. Oh, that's a tough time. So we used to exchange mails, exchange phone calls, Skype, and you know, these technology stuff. Thanks to Microsoft, Apple, and all the big guys out here who are helping us in different ways to, the young guys and girls to, you know, be in touch. So, yes, and thank you so much for the prayers that went in these two, in between the 2 years. But, you know, the distances can be like as long as, yeah, east or west. But I cannot forget the prayers of our dear brothers and sisters that went through in bringing us together to the life that we are having now, bringing us together here. So I take this opportunity to thank each one of you, and I would be ungrateful if I don't say this, for praying for us on your knees in your family prayer. I know many of you pray in tears, pray for a lot of matters, I really appreciate and I really thank you, because I know that it's not because of my prayers, it's not because I'm qualified, I'm staying here. It's because of somebody out there whom I don't know in person or I have met or is praying for me. That is what I believe. And I really take this opportunity to thank you, dear brothers and sisters. So my life in Indore, or my time with grandfather, was the best because he was my spiritual mentor. He used to get up, even in his 80s, early in the morning. He used to be the first person to get up and start reading the Bible. And I, looking at him, well, I used to get up at 8 or 9. He used to get up at 5 and read the Bible. That was wonderful experience, looking at him and growing spiritually looking at him. And so I am here. Well, I'm here for a purpose. God has a purpose in my life. And I understand that by through the life of Moses. Now, I love Moses because I can relate to him. And when we read Hebrews chapter 11, verses 23 to 29, you can read it silently, or you can go back, read. We find the faith of Moses. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 23 to 29. And it reads like this. I will be very quick. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. We see parents who are defying the king's command and hiding a baby. Well, many of the parents here have defied a lot of things, and I do understand for their children. And so my parents, they defied a lot of things. My mother had to flee Saudi Arabia because there was a war going on between Saudi and Kuwait. It's called the Gulf War. And she had to leave her job and come back to India. And I had, and I was small then, so I don't know what was going on. So she tells me the story when I became of age. She ran away to protect me. And we find children as young brothers and sisters, to the young ones out there, our fathers, our mothers, they pray for you, you know. And I've seen my mother get up in the night, pray for me, in tears. So my father, so for you as well. So dear children, if you think that your parents are not helping you or they're not listening to you, just wake up early in the morning and see them. Just have a peek. When they're praying for you in tears. And we see Moses was hidden by his parents, defying the king. And we see by faith Moses, as we continue, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Look at his faith, dear brothers and sisters. Moses was the son of the daughter of Pharaoh. I'm just assuming he might be the next Pharaoh, or they might be training him to be an officer in the great Egyptian empire. What a luxurious post it is. While many of us may have thought, okay, if I stay in this part of the country, I will get a good job, I will maybe, you know, I can earn big bucks. Well, Moses was just like us. You know, that's what we read in James. He became of age and he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He knew where he was coming from. Dear brothers and sisters, young sisters and brothers, let us not forget where we are from. Let us not forget our parents and what they stood for. And he is refusing to be the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And what is he choosing? He's choosing rather to suffer the affliction with people. I will never do that. I mean, I'm thinking of myself in human ways. I will not choose to go to a place where I have to suffer with the people there. Now, I was just wondering if, had it not been the Britishers or the English people who came to a place or a country like India, we would not have known God. I was just wondering. Now, we would not have known God if God sent a person to a wretched place, to a place that is, filled with suffering. And so we might find people who go to countries, African countries, to places where there is suffering, where people are in a very bad state and serving the God. And like Moses, he chose to, choosing to suffer affliction with the people of God. Always associate yourself with godly people. That is going to be more than more worth to you than having a good friend in the world. Than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Well, this world is full of luxury. You can, there's nothing that money cannot buy in the world. So you can buy a lot of things in this world, but it cannot buy the things that the Bible has. It cannot buy you sleep. It cannot buy you love. It cannot buy you fellowship. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Look at what Moses esteemed. He considered suffering for Christ and that more than the riches in Egypt. For he looked to that reward. Dear brothers and sisters, we often get up every day in the morning thinking that this is going to be like yesterday. Or this is going to be like, some other day. No, we should have that hope in us that the Lord is going to come and let us work towards it. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. I was just wondering the character of Moses when he was in Egypt and what his he in the later part of his life. He was here. God puts him in the wilderness and he meets Moses there in the wilderness. He speaks to him. Moses, I have no use of this Moses who is from Egypt. I want someone who is empty of himself. And it took 40 years for Moses to understand he's nothing in this world. And then he met God in that bush. He met God, and there God fills him with the Holy Spirit and calls him to lead the people of Israelites for the next 40 years. And that is what happens with many of us as youngsters. We think we find God in a lot of things, but God always meets us in places where we are alone. He found Jacob. He found Joseph. He found David. He found Abraham. He will, very, very few times he meets people, when they're busy. But always try to find yourself alone with God, because he will speak to you then. And so Moses finds or endured as seeing him who is invisible. Seeing God. Wow. I would pay anything to see God. Can I see God? No, I will die for sure. But I would pay. If I was a billionaire, I would pay my billions to see God for sure. Yes. Look at Moses. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. And therefore, the character Moses is the second most important or talked about person in the Bible. There's Mosaic laws and there's a lot of things related to him because of one thing. Because he emptied himself and so God could use him. And then we read, by faith they passed through the Red Sea. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Look at his faith, dear brothers and sisters. Well, you can judge a person by his looks, or as humans we do that. Looks, his age. But look at how God deals with people. I still believe that a small kid can teach me more than what I can teach myself by reading spiritual books. I just feel that way. God can use different people. It can be our children. It can be people who are less meaningful to us, or we may consider less important, but they can teach us. And so we see Moses. And what was the reward that Moses got? Anyone? What was the reward that Moses got? Well, he was promised that he will enter. He was promised that, okay, eventually you are going to enter the land of Canaan. But did he enter the land of Canaan? How sad it was. I would be devastated if somebody promised me that we are going to a place, we are going to see this person, we are going to see this beautiful thing, and then fails on that promise. I would be devastated. I was just feeling that when I read about Moses, when he's on that mount, he's seeing the land of Canaan far off. But we eventually read in the Gospels that he did enter the land of Canaan. So God did promise him something, and God fulfilled that promise. And in Numbers, it is written of Moses that there was no one, or there will never be anyone who is more humble than Moses. Look at what he was. He was going to be a Pharaoh, possibly. Going to be, because he was a son. And look where God brought him. God brought him down. And I feel the same, I can relate. Yes, there are times when I thought that I was something. God had to teach me, yes, you are nothing. And God is now teaching me that, yes, you can be something, but only through me. And that is what was the verse that I really took in the beginning. Philippians chapter 4, verses 13. I can do all things through Christ, and only through Christ who strengthens me. And I would like to conclude just by leaving you with few verses that will encourage you for the rest of your lives, not for the next week. So the first is from Philippians chapter 3, verses 8. It reads like this: yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. Dear brothers and sisters, we might be working, we might be having a business, but we will reach a point when we will not find pleasure in these things. And then we come to the realization that, oh no, I've spent my life, I should have done more, or I should have accumulated more for the other kingdom, for the kingdom to come, but I don't have much time on this earth. And then it would be too late. So dear brothers and sisters, I want you to think that about the fact that this life that we have is temporary. We are pilgrims. We are passerbys. We will pass by this world soon, and one day we'll all find ourselves in heaven. And the next verse is Psalm 37, verses 25. This is something that my grandfather shared with me out of his experience. And I hope this will encourage you throughout and the children throughout their lives. And Psalm 37, verses 25, it is a psalm of David. And David is now remembering how the Lord worked in his life. And he tells in the psalm, I have been young, and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging for bread. Praise be to God. Our fathers, our forefathers, they were spiritual beings. They helped us, they built our spiritual lives. And when, as a person, you see that, David is thinking about himself. I have been young, and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken. Dear brothers and sisters, I have never seen one godly person forsaken or begging for bread out there in the world. It's because God is providing for them. So I leave you in this with this verse. You may be young today. Tomorrow you will be old. But the only thing that you will realize is that you will not see a righteous forsaken, because you are led by the word of God, you are led by the hand of God, and nor his descendants begging for bread. Your fathers, your mothers, they held you, they prayed for you, for your spiritual life. It's for you. So when you live in this world, may the Lord help us. And I take this time to thank all of you for praying for us. Continue to pray for us. That's the only thing that will help us reach the other shore safely, soundly. And living in this part of Erie is difficult if you don't have a fellowship like this. Let me be very clear. Like, I was just wondering if we didn't have a church or a chapel like this, or members, you know, who are so concerned, who are so loving, who are encouraging, well, I would not have made up, or I would not have lived in this place for so long. So thank you so much for the fellowship, for the love, for the warmth that this chapel offers. Thank you for the brothers who come from different parts. I know you are, you travel a lot, but thank you so much for visiting us, and you are linked to the greater part of God's body. You can be believers in any part of this world, but you belong to that one body, and that is the body of Christ. I may be a hand, you may be a leg, or I might be the leg, or you might be the hands, but we belong to that one body. So we have to make sure, we edify each other, we encourage each other, because we belong to that one body. May the Lord help us with these few verses that are shared from my life. Even though I don't like sharing all about me, I like to share how the Lord led me. And this is how the Lord led me. I'm sure the Lord has dealt with you more because you are more mature. And I always like to listen from you guys, from the brothers here. I'm a good listener than a speaker. So I would love to hear more from you and grow more myself spiritually from listening to you. And I take this time to thank for this opportunity that you have given me. Thank you. Thank you for the leadership. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this time that you have given us, Lord. Lord, thanking you, Father, for bringing us together and for reminding us that we were sinners once, but now we are called to be your children, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the freedom that you have given us to approach you through prayer, Lord, through thanksgiving, through songs of praise and worship, Lord. Father, we thank you, Father, for the freedom that you have given us in this land to worship you, Lord, openly. Lord, we thank you for the verses that we had. Lord, as we go back, help us to live in this wretched world, O Lord, not as people who would settle down, but as people who would prepare for the coming land, O Lord, Father, as people who are just passerbys, Lord. Help us to be strong, to defy the things the world brings into us, O Lord. Father, we pray that you may protect us from the evil one, and as we go out there, help us, O Lord, to reflect you more through our lives. We commit each one of us to you. We pray for the dear ones who are not well among us. We pray for them. We pray for all those who are in need. We commit their needs to your hands, Lord. We pray for all the ministries this chapel is involved in, and for all the Bible studies that are going to happen the next week, O Lord. We pray that you may bring in more members and edify us, O Lord, so that we are perfect like gold. Father, we thank you for all your graces. As we depart, be with us. We pray all this in the most precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.